This is Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. In the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy, several people in the Backyard Chicken Broadcast community contacted me directly to ask after the Bacall flock, and I've been watching my broadcast areas and talking to some of the folks I've profiled in the past. I think we're all worried about each other, so a hurricane check-in seems appropriate. As of October 31st, I haven't heard any news of loss of chicken life in the East Coast microflock community. I'm still trying to find specific information on the small farms that service the New York City grain markets, but the pattern seems to be that harvest season has pretty much come to a premature end for most agriculturalists. In Sandy's impact area, winds and flooding devastated crops on the ground, and small-scale beekeeping has had some major setbacks. But chickens, secured in sturdy coops or sharing domiciles with chickeners, did quite well. This storm bore out my theory that one advantage of small decentralized chicken flocks is they're relatively safe and easy to protect. I'm not sure how the factory farms did, but for better or worse, those battery structures are probably also safe. On the other hand, someone recently forwarded me one of those freak news articles about a large operation where one extremely intoxicated neighbor stumbled onto a farm and into a power shed where he, perhaps inadvertently, but either way, tragically, turned off the climate control for approximately 70,000 chickens, who subsequently perished before the farmer discovered the massive die-off and the man on the floor in a pool of his own urine. Not to go too far off course, but I think it goes to show how one small malfunction can cause havoc on a large mega-farm. If loss of power, unexpected flooding, or structure-damaging winds hit a mega-farm during a hurricane like this, as you would think it must have, the farmer was probably insured against the loss, and it may not make the news, but I have a feeling it may have happened. I do know for sure that our small flocks fared quite well, and indeed, having chickens may prove to be a small, but not insignificant, hedge against events like these that cut short our vegetable season. The most difficult preparation Jules and I had to make was taking the ferry to Governor's Island, which was one of the evacuation zones, to secure the 22 birds still there before the storm. We took some newborns off the island with their mother hen. None of the island security staff or park rangers had precise info on the chances that the center where the flock is secured would be flooded. It's a few hundred yards inland, along with other structures the military probably wouldn't have wanted flooded when they built the place, but we weren't 100% confident. We decided to secure the flock in the hoop house and shelter structure to protect them from the high winds. But if the area had been badly submerged, they may not have all found secure perches, and some would have drowned. We were all worried, but there was no way to relocate all those birds. At one point, I was getting internet updates and saw the notorious Photoshop pictures of the Statue of Liberty up to her skirts in waves, and for a second thought, oh no. And then I thought, this can't be real, which of course it wasn't. If Ellis Island had been hit that bad, governors would have too. But of course it turned out to be a fraud, and on Tuesday afternoon, New York City staff sent us word that the chickens had survived. As for the Bacall flock, we live very close to the East River in Queens, but not in a flood zone for a hurricane of this level. We did walk by the shore in the morning, and the water was already pretty high. The trees in the park across from our apartment took a pretty dramatic beating. We retrieved our hens from their latest couch surfing adventure, a coop just four blocks away, and kept them with us in our apartment. We figured they would want to be in familiar surroundings with familiar faces from their extended flock. They passed the storm pretty much oblivious, as we fed them particularly prime leftovers, fresh rice and freaky grain, finely diced kale and sardines. But now and then they'd look up in alert mode when the winds picked up. Once the storm started in earnest, it was dark, and they were fast asleep. All in all, pretty restful for us. We never even lost power. Our friend down the street secured his hens in their sturdy coop, a repurposed tool shed. He reported back, "I locked them up all day and they all laid eggs. Thought it was interesting, as now typically I'm only getting 2 to 4 eggs a day. But with the hurricane, I got 6. So I guess the latest thing I've learned is that hurricanes induce productive egg laying. Maybe they were just bored since they couldn't go outside." Tat Phu Tan in Staten Island, an activist artist who was profiled on this show, had a lot of garden cleanup, but his sturdy and attractive coop of repurposed materials survived, along with the chickens locked within, proving Tat Phu's coop-building skills as an ex-sculptor. There's a YouTube video of a Pleasant Village community garden in Harlem with chickens picking through the garden rubble. And an article in the New York Observer reported, as mentioned earlier, a range of damage at New York's innovative urban farms. The Grange's rooftop gardens in Queens and Brooklyn fared well, and so did their chickens, but the bees were devastated. Another rooftop operation, Gotham Greens, reported virtually no loss. Lower-lying operations did not fare as well, with lots of flooding, plant destruction, and beehives destroyed or scattered. BK Farmyards, which was one of the first of New York's innovative commercial farms and probably has the most experience growing vegetables and chickens out of a variety of spaces, managed to reduce losses significantly through preparation, but acknowledged that recent years have made it more challenging. For them, too, no chicken losses. Community gardens and private chickeners fared similarly. For us, we could relocate our chickens relatively easily, even taking them in the house for a day if need be. Finally, right before I pressed record on tonight's show, I spotted an article in the Gothamist blog about a de-beaked Rhode Island red hen wandering around Greenpoint, Brooklyn after the hurricane. The couple who were fostering her already got an egg for their kindness. They posted a photo of her perched on the kitchen sink, which links to a previous article about a Brooklynite who took home a stray rooster, much to his roommate's annoyance. Could it be that indoor pet chickening is a growing trend after all? I'll post the links to the articles on my Facebook fan page. Speaking of which, Facebook was a decent resource during this hurricane. I know it's not everyone's thing, and I do understand privacy and commercial exploitation concerns, but it was plenty convenient to be able to post a single post rather than make multiple phone calls and emails. Then again, internet service and power was pretty good this time around, making it easy. Please contact me with your chicken reports at bucky@buckybacaw.org if I haven't already heard from you, especially if you have any hurricane preparation tips or miracle survival stories which I can use next year on my annual hurricane preparation episode, which I'm vowing to schedule henceforth, even though it'll be a long time before we get another hurricane like Sandy, right? This is Bucky Bacaw, still having a good time. Bucky, Bucky, Bucky Bacaw.